Hebrews chapter 12, we'll be reading verse 28 and 29. Hebrews 12, 28 and 29. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight for the privilege to serve you. And I imagine, Lord, that most of the people here know many reasons why we should serve you. But Lord, we want to go through a few of those tonight just to remind us of why we should serve you as our Lord and our God. And I pray that you might bless these thoughts to each of our hearts. Thank you for the good testimonies. Thank you, Lord, for the privileges to be together. And we ask that you might minister to us in accordance to your will, because you know, Lord, the need of each heart. We don't. But I pray that you'd meet those needs tonight. And if there be one with us, Lord, as we many times say, if someone has not trusted Jesus, we pray that even tonight, be the night they do that. Thank you for what you'll do, and as you speak to us from your word, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't believe that you could come up with a legitimate reason not to serve God. Even though there have been many of them offered through the years, I imagine a lot of people have come up with reasons why they do not serve God, why they do not want to serve God, or maybe why they used to, but they don't want to any longer. Because there are so many different people and so many different experiences, people say lots of things. But I really don't believe that there's any good reason not to serve God. Job was a man of God. He went through an awful lot in his life. He was greatly blessed. And then over just a very short period of time, all of his material blessings were taken from him. He lost his health. He lost his possessions. He lost his family. He seemed to have lost everything. And even those who were his friends turned against him and accused him of things that were not true. His wife said, "Why don't you just curse God and die?" And yet in the book of Job, chapter 13, verse 15, Job said, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." Job was saying, there is no good reason for me to quit trusting and serving my Lord. I'll keep on doing it. In verse 28 of Hebrews that we read just a minute ago, it says, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. God wants us to serve Him acceptably with reverence and godly fear. And so tonight I'd like for us just to go through some of the reasons why we serve God. I've entitled the message, Why Serve God? One reason I believe that all of us would agree we should serve God is because of what He's already done for us. I would say most of us are Christians, if not all of us. We've accepted Christ as our Savior. So why should we serve God? Well, because of what He's already done for us. Number one, He saved us. He saved us. In order to save us, He had to first of all die for us. I'm sure glad He did that. I mean, I owe everything to the Lord. If it wasn't for Him, I would be lost. I'd be apart from Him and I'd be on my road to hell. And yet He's the one who many years ago left heaven's glory, came to this earth and died on an old rugged cross for me. All of the sin that I ever would commit, it was laid on Jesus. And then God poured down His wrath upon His Son, which is what I deserved. Jesus took it for me. He paid the price for me. He died, He was buried, and the third day He arose. He did all that for me. And surely what He's done for me in dying for me should cause me want to serve Him. But not only did He die for me, He also made sure that message was written down. You see, it could have happened 2,000 years ago, and I never would have known anything about it. If God hadn't made sure that He wrote it down, preserved it in the Word of God, so that we one day would be able to hear it. He not only made it a record so that we could know about it. He also called people to tell about it. Many years ago, he saved those early Christians. And then they began to spread the word. And it was spread over the whole known world at that time. And all through these years, it's continued to spread from one to the other. And the Lord has had the scriptures translated in different languages. So we have it in our language. Other people have it in their languages. And I'm so glad that the Lord did all that for me so that I could say tonight that I'm saved. My past blessings should be enough to make me want to serve Him. I serve Him because I love Him for what He's done for me. That I'm a child of God, I'm a Christian, I'm on my way to heaven, I'm not going to go to hell, I know that. And that should be all that I need. But that's not all there is. Another thing that He's done for me in the past is He's provided for me. Many, many blessings the Lord's given me, many ways He's provided for me. In the book of James chapter 1 verse 17 it says, every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from above. From the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. The Lord is the one who gives us all good gifts. And because He's given us all these things, surely we should serve Him. He's promised me a home in heaven. He's promised me a brand new body. All that He has given to me and guaranteed to me should be reason for me to say, I want to serve Him. So we could wrap it up in one word. Why should we serve God? One word in what we've just said would be gratitude. Gratitude. Because of gratitude to Him, I should serve Him. But then there's another reason I should serve Him, and that is because of His command to do so. You see, the Lord tells me to serve Him. He commands that I serve Him. And so, because I've accepted Him as Lord, you remember when you get saved, you trust the Lord as your Savior. And Romans chapter 10, verse 9 says, that if thou should confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, or you could be translated, Jesus as Lord. You confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. You confess that He is Lord. He is who He said He is. And He has died for you, and you want Him to be your Savior. And when He becomes your Savior, He also becomes your Lord. And He has the right to tell us what to do, and He commands us to serve Him. In Romans chapter 12, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Your reasonable service. I beseech you to do this. He asks us to do it. He commands us to do it. If you'll turn your Bibles to the book of Deuteronomy, there's an excellent verse there in Deuteronomy chapter 10. Deuteronomy 10, verse 12. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord require, thy God require of thee? But to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all of His ways, to love Him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul. What does the Lord require? He requires that we serve Him. So I should serve Him because He commands me to. Obedience is always expected of the one who's subservient to his Lord. Even if we don't feel like it. Even if we don't understand. Even if we don't know what is happening in our life and we don't understand what's going on. The Lord has said, I want you to serve me. I am the one who died for you and I want you to serve me. I command that you serve me. And so we should serve God out of obedience. Again, putting that in one word, it would be the reason for service would be obedience. Gratitude and obedience. I should serve God because He tells me to. And when God tells me to do something, I should know that He understands everything. He has a good reason for it. And this is what He wants me to do. And so I serve Him because of obedience. But then there's another reason I serve Him. I should serve God because I believe His promises. I have faith in Him. I believe what He tells me. And so I should serve Him because I believe the promises that He's given to me. He's promised that He's going to provide for me. Sometimes we're faced with decisions whether we should serve God, because, you know, if we serve God, it looks like we might not get certain things, or this might happen. If I take this step of faith, then, you know, it doesn't look like it's going to turn out right for me. But I serve God because He's promised me something. And that is, He's promised He'll take care of me. In the book of Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, he says, "My God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus." God's going to supply all of our needs. Now that passage, we'll not go back to it, but that passage, if you look at the whole of it, it's a promise made to people who are obeying the Lord. It's not just a promise made to all Christians. You know, if you know the Lord, then God's going to provide all your needs. No, it's a promise to the Philippians who were doing what God told them to do. They were obeying the Lord, and the Lord says, "You obey me, you serve me, I'll provide all your needs. I'll take care of you." And so we're faced with those decisions. Am I going to continue to serve God or not? And we say, "Yes, Lord, I will, because you promised you're going to provide for me, and I trust you, so I trust His promises to provide. I also trust His promises to be with me." Sometimes when we are faced with the decision to serve the Lord, we have questions about what's this going to cause. I mean, it looks like it's going to be a dangerous path that I'm going to take if I'm going to serve God. I mean, to do this might cause danger to me, and it might cause danger to my family. What am I going to do? Sometimes missionaries are faced with that. They're sent off to a foreign land, and sometimes it's a place where people don't live like we do here, and it's primitive. And they don't know what's going to happen. But God's called them to serve. Should they serve? Yes, because He has promised, "I'll be with you. Wherever you go, I'll be with you." In Hebrews chapter 13, it says this in verse 5, "Let your conversation or your manner of life be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for He has said, 'I will never leave thee, and I will never forsake thee,' so that we may boldly say, 'The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me.'" So I'm going to serve God because He's promised. He's promised to provide for me. He's promised to be with me wherever I am. And so I'm going to serve God. But also, He's promised to work in my life. He's promised to work in my life. In the book of Romans chapter 8, you know the verse. In verse 28, "We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to those who are called according to His purpose." The Lord says, "I will work all things out together for good." In Proverbs 3, you know those verses, I quote them all often. "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." The Lord says, "I'm going to work in your life, and I'm going to accomplish what is best for you. You trust me." And so I serve God because of faith. I believe His promises. He promises that He's going to work in my life. You see, the believing the Lord has a purpose for the problems that I face and that He's going to work in my life. God does have purpose. God has purposes for the trials we go through. All of us go through trials. I'm sure you have a trial that you're going through right now. We have some trials that we're going through right now, some of the things you don't know about. But we all go through trials. But God has a purpose for trials. Now, what are those purposes? What does God do for us through trials? Well, one thing He does is He teaches us patience. So I'm going through a trial and I don't know why this is happening, you know, and I don't understand it. And you're going through that same kind of thing and you don't understand it. And you say, "Well, Lord, what are you doing? I mean, why is this happening? I don't understand. And I'm tempted not to serve you anymore because this is not turning out the way I thought it would." And the Lord says, you trust me. You trust me. I know what I'm doing. Well, Lord, what are you doing? Well, sometimes God answers us, and because we find some answers in the Scriptures. One of the things He does through those trials is He teaches us patience. You remember Romans chapter 5, verse 3 says, "Tribulation works patience." Not good times, not fun times, not party times, but tribulation works patience. And so we become a more patient person because God puts us through tribulations. And you learn that if you learn to trust Him through the tribulation. You would never learn that any other way. And so God has a purpose for it, to teach us patience. Sometimes His purpose is to prepare us for a great work, something that He wants us to do. Great men and great churches have had to pay a price to be what we would call great. Just think about it. You would never have known about Job that we just talked about a while ago if it hadn't been for Job's problems. I doubt that God would have even written the book of Job if it hadn't been for Job's problems. And just think about all the times, I mean, we can't remember all the times, but there have been so many times that preachers and just regular Christians have used Job as an example and to teach us how we can trust God through the midst of trouble. Because it looks really bad, but God made it turn out all right for Job. In fact, in the end, Job had twice as much as he did in the beginning. And you can trust God through trials. You see, God was preparing Job for a great work. Job never knew about it during his lifetime. I don't know if he knows about it now. If God's revealed it to him and said, Job, you know all the problems you went through? I wrote it down in the book. And it's been read many times, and many thousands and even millions of people have experienced great help because of your problems. Maybe God's told him about that. But Job didn't know it at the time. But God was preparing Job for a great work. You see, we'd never known about Naaman. Remember Naaman, the guy who was healed of leprosy, and he ducked seven times in the muddy river? We would have never known about him if he hadn't been a leper. We would never known about Jonah, probably, if he hadn't been a man with some problems, you know, and he ran away from God, and then God had caused him to be swallowed by a whale, and he had the seaweed wrapped around his neck, and it's just an awful picture. You think of Jonah down in that whale's or that great fish's belly, and then being vomited up because there's nothing as sickening as a backslidden preacher. And the old fish vomited him up. And he went through quite an experience. We would never known about Jonah if he hadn't gone through that experience. And we've learned so much from his life. Many times messages have been preached about him. You remember of a lady by the name of Vashti? I don't know if Vashti ever came to know the Lord. I just have a sneaking suspicion that maybe she did. But, you know, you would have never known about Vashti in the Bible unless she had refused to display her beauty to a drunken bunch of men. And because of that, she was dethroned and taken, her queenship taken away. You'd never known about Vashti if she hadn't gone through those troubles. We would never know about blind Bartimaeus unless he had been blind. We would never know about Zacchaeus unless he had probably been a short man. You know, probably something he didn't enjoy was being short all his life, but that's one of the reasons he got in the Bible, because he was a short man, couldn't see Jesus, so he climbed up in the tree so he could see him, and then the Lord saw him and took him and went to his house, and Zacchaeus got saved and changed and transformed. And we probably never would have known about Zacchaeus if he hadn't had that problem of being small. Also, Lazarus. We might not have known too much about Lazarus in the Bible unless he would have died and then was resurrected and had to die again. You see, God sends us through troubles, and our troubles prepare us for a great work. I'm glad for one portion in the Bible concerning Peter, because it clears up some things that are false doctrine today, much of it propagated by the Catholic Church, and that is that Peter was the first pope, and popes don't marry, and all of that, and yet the Bible says Peter was married. And Peter had a mother-in-law. But you know, we'd never known about Peter's mother-in-law unless she'd gotten sick. And so she went through this trial, and then she got, you know, she was sick, and she got healed of that sickness, but we wouldn't have known about her if it hadn't been for that. You know, the widow's mite, remember all the lessons we've learned about giving from the widow and her, giving her mite? Well, we would have never known about her unless she had been poor. You see, God prepares us sometimes for great works by putting us through trials. A great man many of you have heard about was John Bunyan. John Bunyan was in Bedford jail for 12 years for doing something very simple, and that is preaching the gospel. Preaching the gospel as somebody who was not licensed to preach. He said, I don't need a license. I have a command from God to preach, and he preached the gospel. That was a terrible time for him, separated from his wife and his family and all of that. But during that time, he wrote Pilgrim's Progress, and how that book has blessed many, many millions of people down through the years. Why? Because he went through troubles. You see, when you're facing troubles, you have a decision to make. Am I going to serve God? Well, you can serve him if you'll have this reason to serve him, and that is, it's a reason called faith. I believe him. I believe him. I'm going to serve God because I believe him. I really trust him. I trust him to have a purpose for the trials. Maybe he's preparing me for a great work. And then sometimes God will send us through trials to teach us just to understand, to make us understanding people. You know, if you know of somebody that you would consider a spoiled brat, you know, they always got everything they wanted. Dad, mom always catered to them and always gave in to them. Maybe they were born into a rich family, always had everything they wanted. You know, those people aren't understanding people. They don't understand other people because they don't want to. They're concerned about themselves. God wants us to be understanding people. You know, that's what God is. God's an understanding God. Remember, that's one of the reasons that we're encouraged by Jesus Christ being our high priest. Because he understands. He's been here. He's walked this earth. He's been through the life that we live. He knows what it's like to get hungry. He knows what it's like to have pain. He knows what it's like to have friends turn against him. He understands all those things. He's touched with the feeling of our infirmity. How does he understand that? Because he's been through it. And sometimes God sends us through trials so we can learn and we can understand. Turn your Bibles to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 3 says, Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. And the verse I want us to see is verse 4, 2 Corinthians 1, verse 4. Who comforteth us in all our tribulation. That, notice, in our tribulation, that's our trials, our problems. That we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. You see, God is sending us through trials sometimes to teach us to understand other people. A couple of illustrations that you're familiar with, I'm sure, is Dr. Bill Rice many years ago. Of course, he's been with the Lord a long time, but Dr. Bill Rice spoke at Cedarville College when I was a student there. I remember him speaking on campus, tall man, he wore a cowboy hat. I can remember that. But Dr. Bill Rice had the Lord gave him a daughter, and his daughter was deaf. That's a trying thing for a family to go through, you know, to have a deaf child. Because of that, God gave a burden to his heart and his wife's heart to be concerned about deaf people. And now for many, many years, the Bill Rice Ranch, one of their main ministries, has been to deaf people and training people to deal with deaf people. And many churches have people in their deaf ministry who lead their deaf ministry. And, you know, they sign to the deaf who've been taught at Bill Rice Ranch. Why is that? Because God put something in the life of Bill Rice and his wife that wasn't pleasant at the time. They had a child that was deaf, but God was preparing them for something. He wanted them to understand so they could be understanding people and reach out to help somebody else. Camp Joy in Chattanooga, Tennessee, I think that's where it's located, was started because of the death of Dr. Lee Robertson's little girl. And Dr. Lee Robertson's little girl's name was Joy. And because of that experience, God calls them to open up the camp called Camp Joy. You see, God has a reason for doing things. I don't always understand his reasons. Many times we don't understand why it's happening. But when those things are going on in your life which you don't understand and you're caused to question God, what's going to get you through and make you decide, you know, I'm going to keep on serving God, is this simple thing that you believe him. You trust him. I serve God because I believe Him. I trust Him. I have faith in Him. But then there's another reason that we serve God, and that is we serve God because of His glory. We serve God because service to God is all about Him, not us. He's the one who deserves the glory. We don't deserve the glory. Colossians 1 verse 18 says He's the head of the church, that in all things He might have the preeminence. The Lord's over the church so that He might have the preeminence. So God wants us to give Him the preeminence and Him the glory. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 31 says, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. So whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. So God wants us to serve Him to bring glory to Him. You see, if you don't serve God, it's going to dishonor Him. Because you're a child of God, and people know that. And if you don't serve God, it's going to bring dishonor to Him. God doesn't deserve that. God deserves honor. And so regardless how tough it gets, we should decide, Lord, I'm going to serve You. I'm going to keep on serving You because it's all about You, Lord. You're the one that deserves the glory. And if you'll give God the glory, it always turns out better for you as well. Because it's so great to know that I have honored the Lord in all of my life. What a discouraging thing it would be later in our life if we look back and say, you know, I dishonored God. And then you look at the reasons why you did that, and they will seem so silly. Because later you're going to wish you had honored the Lord. So we serve God because of praise. Appreciation to Him. He deserves all of our praise, so we give the glory to Him. And then there's another reason we should serve God. We should serve God because of others. We should serve God because of others. And we could sum that up in the word compassion. You see, other people watch us. Other Christians watch you. I don't know who's going through a trial right now, but I've learned through the years almost everybody is. Have you ever seen a family and you think, well, that's a model family? Let me tell you something about model families. They all have problems. They all have problems. I mean, the model families usually have things that they're ashamed of people to even know about. Maybe some family member that they're really having trouble with. And, you know, they have this facade. Everybody thinks they're great, just a model family. And yet they have problems. Everybody has problems, friend. Preachers' families have problems. Everybody has problems. Deacons' families have problems. Preachers' kids have problems, usually because when they're younger, they played with the deacon's kids. That's usually the reason they turn out bad. But, you know, everybody has problems. But you can be sure, regardless of your problems, if you name the name of Christ, people are watching you. People are watching you. Other Christians are watching you. Other people think that you've got it together. They don't know about your problems. You really have it together. And they're really struggling and they're looking to you. Don't fail them. Don't quit serving God because somebody's watching you. Somebody has their eye on you wondering how you're going to do. And you'll be so glad if you just keep on serving God regardless. I would have no idea how many people know me and respect me. I don't have any idea how many would. But I know this for sure. It's more than I know of. And there are people who know me that I don't know they know me. There are people who watch me that I don't know that they're watching. I heard somebody say the other day that we're talking about a house down the road there. And they said, oh, that's the house close to the preacher, where the preacher lives. I didn't even know who the person was, but they knew where the preacher lived. You see, people watch us, and they watch you too. You might say, well, but I'm not the preacher, I'm not the deacon, I'm not anything. You know, I don't have an office in the church or anything like that. But people know you're a Christian, and they're watching you. And so you should serve God out of compassion for other people, because you don't want to be a stumbling block to them. You don't want to be the person that causes them to say, if that's a Christian, I don't want to be one. You want to be the kind of person that makes somebody hungry to be like you are. Make somebody want to have what you have, because they've seen you go through the trial and they've seen you stay strong. They don't understand how you do it, and they don't know why you don't just give up. They don't know why you just keep on going to church, even though they know you're going through all kinds of trials, and they're watching you. And the moment you stumble and fall and act like they would act, you disappoint them greatly. Somebody's watching you. And so it's another reason to serve God, because of compassion for people. Saved people and unsaved people. And then there's another reason, the final reason I'd like to give you tonight, of why you should serve God. And that is because of the promise of what's coming. Because of the promise of what's coming. And we can sum that up in one word, and that's anticipation. One thing that we anticipate is this: we're going to see Jesus. We're going to see Jesus. Turn back in your text that we started with tonight, in Hebrews chapter 12. And let's read those verses again, Hebrews 12, verses 28 and 29. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Look at it again, verse 28, chapter 12 of Hebrews. Serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Why? For our God is a consuming fire. Our God is a consuming fire. Who do you think you're going to see when you see Jesus? I mean, what's he going to be like? You say, well, I believe he'll be like I picture him, walking the streets of Nazareth. And, you know, he's going to have sandals on, and he's going to just be a kind, compassionate, understanding man that, you know, I'm just going to enjoy with. I'm going to buddy up to Jesus. He's my big buddy in the sky. Oh, my friend. So I'm going to be like that. You read the book of Revelation, and you see Jesus, the description of him, and it's awe-inspiring. It's frightening, because you'll see him in his glory. And seeing him in his glory, the Lord says, you'll see him as that God who is the judge. And he's the one who knows everything about you. Everything. And this passage says, wants to remind us, we need to serve God with reverence and godly fear. Why? Because God is a consuming fire. You remember 1 Corinthians chapter 3? It talks about us standing before the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ. And I believe it's a picture of the judgment seat. And our works are going to be tried, and they're going to be tried by fire. The fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is, whether it's gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, or stubble. The wood, hay, and stubble will burn up. The gold, silver, and precious stone will stand. Well, what is that fire that's going to judge those things? According to the book of Revelation, our Lord's eyes are eyes of fire. And I think the Lord can just look at us. He reveals everything about us, and he burns up all the dross. All the things we did for him that we said were service, but they were really for show. We said because we loved him, but it was really because we loved ourselves. God will burn all those things up. And the only thing that will last is what we did for Jesus because we really loved him. We'll stand before the one who is a consuming fire. And just anticipating seeing the Lord like that should cause us to say, Lord, I want to serve you. I want to serve you. I know what's coming. But then there's something else that's coming. It's not just that fearful thing, but there's also that possibility of the Lord saying, as he did in Matthew chapter 5, verse 21, when they stood before the Lord, he said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I mean, if you're wanting to know, well, should I continue serving God, or I'm just going to give up on it? Well, just remember, one of these days, and it could be today, could be tonight, Could be very soon. The Lord's going to come back and take us home to be with Him in heaven. And the first thing that happens when we get up there, He's going to take us before the judgment seat of Christ. When He comes to take us in the rapture, that's the next thing in heaven, judgment seat of Christ. And when we stand before Him, we'll give an account of our works. The Lord says, there's some that will hear this from the Lord. He will say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Do I want to quit serving Him? No, I don't want to quit serving Him. Because I want to hear Him say, well done, good and faithful servant. And then I want what follows that. And that is, the Lord says He'll give us rewards. Turn your Bibles to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. Paul said this. He's up in years now, ready to go on to be with the Lord. And he said, I am now ready to be offered. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. I haven't quit serving God. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that time, at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing. Now you remember in the Bible there are five crowns that are mentioned, given out to those who know the Lord and have earned those rewards that God will give them, and they're called crowns. There's five of them mentioned. This is one of them. But all we want to say tonight is we're going to have the privilege of receiving crowns. Those crowns go to people that serve the Lord. And so why should I serve God? I should serve God because I'm going to stand before Him someday, and He's going to be a consuming fire, and I know my works are going to be judged by Him, but I want to hear Him say, well done, and I want Him to give me a crown that I can place on my head. No, not maybe on my head. Won't be there long, because the Bible says we cast our crowns at the feet of Jesus. And what a privilege that'll be to say, Lord, I don't deserve this. You do. And the only reason I was able to serve You is because of You. And Lord, I did it for You. And You deserve the glory. And we lay the crown at His feet. Now, if you could just picture that, and if you could see that happening in your mind's eye, and see the judgment seat of Christ, and see that possibility of you receiving a crown for service. I mean, it's not whether you get to heaven. You're already there. Because you get to heaven by trusting Jesus. But this is reward for your service for Him after you trust Him. And if you can see that possibility of having that crown, or maybe more than one crown, and laying it at the feet of Jesus and say, Lord, I love You. And then somebody suggests to you, why don't you quit serving God? You say, no, I don't want to quit serving Him. I'm looking forward to that day. And I want to hear Him say, well done. And I want to take that crown and I want to place it at His feet. Why should we serve God? Friend, we should serve God because of gratitude. We appreciate what He's done for us. We should serve God because of obedience. He tells us to. And we want to serve Him. We should serve God because of faith. We believe Him. He's promised. He's promised to take care of us. He's promised to provide for us. He's promised to be with us. He's promised to work all the things out together in our life to accomplish something good. Maybe He's preparing us for a great work. Maybe He's developing our character so that we will be a compassionate person. We don't know, but we know He's working in us. He has a purpose. So I'm going to serve Him because I trust Him. I believe Him. I'm going to serve Him because of faith. And I'm going to serve Him because He deserves the glory. And I'm going to serve Him because of my concern for other people who are watching me. And I don't want to trip them up. And then finally, I'm going to serve Him because someday I'm anticipating something. I'm anticipating Him saying, well done, good and faithful servant. Now, I'm sure you can add some other reasons. But I think those are sufficient to say, regardless what comes, Lord, I want to serve You. Romans says the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. As the song goes, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Him. One glimpse of His dear face, all sorrow will erase. so bravely run the race till you see Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for helping us to see why we should serve you. You have granted us all that we need. You've saved us by your grace. You've given us the privilege to be servants. May we never back out on that, Lord. Help us always to serve you faithfully. And Lord, may it be said someday that we have served well. And may we hear you say, well done. And may we receive a crown because of that, Lord, because you deserve that crown to be placed at your feet. Keep us faithful until you come. Encourage the Christian that's going through troubles tonight to keep on keeping on, because it'll be worth it all someday. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.